I'm coming in hot.
Episode 301.
We've got listeners in all the area codes. 70707-404-202. We like Ludacris.
405, the 903.
He wasn't talking about listeners, though. He was talking about
469.
He was talking about 312s.
The 71. I mean, isn't pretty much any combination going to be an area code of three numbers
or
less?
But he was very specific. Because
what area codes did he reference? Let me guess. California area codes.
You would be mistaken.
Is it East Coast? New York?
No. Listen. 770, that's Atlanta, Georgia. 404. Oh, 404, probably okay. The most famous. Atlanta, Georgia. 718, New York.
Why is 404
is the error. Get it? 404.
Ruben Studdard was really into his area code of the 203 or something like that.
410 is Baltimore. 504 is New Orleans.
So East Coast.
972. East Coast. No. 972. Dallas. 713. Houston. 314. St. Louis.
Were those all mentioned in that one song?
Yes.
Really?
I have a list of the 43 area codes because you know when I said that, I anticipated you were going to be like, what area codes
did he mention? 580.
No, he did not. He did not mention southeastern Oklahoma. But he did get close. He got to Dallas. And let's see, Sacramento.
972. I used to have a 972 number
One of Ludacris's lascivious? Lascivious?
Maybe
that's
was.
Not a word.
I don't know what lascivious means.
It's not a word. I made it up. I went to say litigious, which means people.
A ludicrous disciple, you could have made yourself a ludicisciple, and that would have been a good word.
Or a ludite, which we would
talk about. A ludite, that's an even better word.
Sabotage.
Based on episode 300. Today with us, missing from episode 299, missing from episode 300, today, I'm very excited to have Enrique.
Our very own 301.
I am here. I'm sorry that I missed the episodes.
It's Bubba's fault.
No. Okay, it might be.
It is Bubba's fault.
It'll be fine.
But listen, we legitimately, Dick Simpson asked about you. Dan Hughes asked about you. Mike Delisio asked about you. They want to know where you were at.
They were like, how can you celebrate episode 300 without Enrique?
So this is episode 300.5.
One.
Okay. But one.
Oh, I thought it was four.
Oh. It's no, 301.
Oh, okay.
301.
Because we are continuing the celebration of our 300. This episode will come out right after my surgery or during my surgery.
You may no longer be with us.
I might be dead.
You'll be fine.
I might be dead.
That will be weird. Will I put this out?
I'm going to.
Yeah, you will. You'll put this out right as I'm having surgery.
I need. What do you want? I need clarification from you that I can put this out if you're with us or not.
I want you to publish this whether I'm dead or not, because two things. Number one, Ludacris rides hard. So do I. When I'm having my surgery down at the 908, I want this done.
908 does not sound like cool, though.
I know, but that's where it's at. Listen.
What is that, like Southwest Temple, Texas? What is
that? Wherever UT Southwest.
Northeast Arkansas. What is the 908?
It's UT Southwestern. So listen. Hey, where you have insurance. Where they take my insurance?
I hope they have good doctors there.
I'm having the best endocrinologist and the best surgeon, the chief of surgery of endocrinological, which is having to do with your adrenals, surgeon in the greater state of Texas, touch me in a way that will render me with one less adrenal gland and hopefully one less tumor, so that one, I'm no longer in a constant state of rage, two, no longer in a constant state of stress, three, no longer in a constant state of hypertension, and four, just feel better, I guess.
And I hope that works out for you for a variety of reasons.
Because if I die,
number
and this
one,
is the last
I want
recorded
you to be alive.
That would be weird.
I mean, we're joking, we're laughing. It's like weird crap happens.
Live like you were dying.
What, to the
remember people? That weird episode where you kept saying that? Oh, live like you were dying. And then you went on to go do exactly the same things you always did with that stupid shirt.
What?
I don't like that shirt. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? I should have told you. What shirt?
That shirt you're wearing.
The one I'm wearing.
Yes, I hate that shirt.
Listen. It does kind of give you that old man look.
It's just a polo.
I feel sorry
for my polo?
Yes, I feel sorry for saying it out loud. But that polo is so childish. It's green. It's a green polo with a yellow stripe, and it just looks ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I did not know you felt this way. Or else
I've never seen it. You always wear a shirt. You always wear a t-shirt of some t-shirt with some weird nerd saying on it. And this is the first time I've seen you like wearing a polo.
I'm trying to wear a polo to be more presentable.
You wore that polo when we shot the 300 episode. Because you wanted to look respectable.
I was like, I'm gonna wear a collared shirt. But look like they I, do, like I show, they require when you go to a nice golf resort.
I showed up wearing a button-up shirt, a nice Oxford. And yet here you are. I don't even know what Oxford is. I just said that because it was a term I've heard. You show up wearing your classic black t-shirt that probably smells like death.
With sleeves. Every time we post you with sleeves, people say, what's with the sleeves?
Why have you changed your persona and started wearing short sleeves?
What's with the sleeves?
Are you
Are you pro-sleeve now?
Well, like usually these just come in like those
bags.
Bags, and they're cheap.
They're cheap.
So it's like, I can just grab
them. I'm noticing Enrique doesn't wear a lot of themed shirts. You just wear black or white.
Yeah.
I think he wears...
very weird.
I think he pretty much wear like just what's available on top of whatever thing that's not dirty yet.
If you wanted to wear a certain type of shirt, what shirt would it be?
It'd be probably that... I'm trying to think what that...
True Classic.
No.
Sponsor.
I want to say that flannel shirt that I had.
You like flannel?
Yeah. if that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I remember your flannel. So, anyways, we want to catch up with Enrique because we keep getting emails from people. Where's Enrique? What happened with Enrique?
Here's the thing with us. People tend to get nervous
right now during this episode. Yet we're still getting emails. About Enrique. God forbid.
Something happens to Jerry. God forbid.
But if it does, continue on.
With who? Me and Enrique?
I know.
It's not going to happen.
Like the people are relying on the wrong
person. I don't have anybody to record with.
You could record with Dan or Richard or somebody. You could find some. Bubba will show up for a while to transition. Just go to every other week and you'll be fine.
Okay.
But
what we really need is a Patreon.
To help me get buried.
We need donations. Please feel free to sign up for Patreon. Link in the show notes. Go ahead.
But seriously, I'll be all right.
You'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
And if you aren't,
R.I.P.
We'll dig you a hole in the backyard of your house and leave you there.
You know, if I had to pick a backyard to be buried in, I don't know. It would tie between Gobby's house. But I wouldn't want to be buried at Gobby's house because Gobby would go out there and cry every day like a wuss. But that was very mean. I'd rather be buried at your house next to your pool and there's a crane.
My bad.
And your pool table. Your outdoor pool table.
That's a song titled In This Shirt.
I've never heard of that.
I just had to download it because I'm like, looking up shirt songs, and it's like there's a song called In This Shirt.
What shirt do you want to die in?
That's by the Irrepressibles.
If you had to be buried in something, what would it be? That's a great Enrique. Why do you ask those great questions? I want to be buried in a suit, obviously, but
I absolutely hate suits, it doesn't represent me. What I want to be buried in is my cargo shorts. And my Star Wars shirt.
Oh my God.
That's it.
Oh.
That's all I'm remembering.
I'm sorry for laughing. But he imagined that.
No, that's why I won't be married. Please bear me in there.
Of course, something sleepless.
It'd probably be something sleepless in pajamas.
Yeah.
That's probably in my slippers. With my headsets and my controller.
And your controller. This is what a copyright strike sounds like.
In this shirt.
I think
I an emotional song, though, sounds like.
It does. I'm crying. Do you see me tearing up? I do like my... I do like my Brass Birmingham shirt that I keep forgetting to plug from the British guy who sent it to me. I am so sorry. I will look that guy up.
Wow. Thanks a lot, British.
I love you, British man, that you sent me such a comfortable... British Birmingham, Brass Birmingham shirt. It is also British and it's also brass. That or my Exterminate Doctor Who shirt, which, quite frankly, Doctor Who has gone downhill in many years.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sad about it.
Coming up in June, which is several weeks after this podcast, we have plans on visiting the Fan Expo in Dallas, in which, like, David Tennant and all his companions will be at.
I'm visiting that.
You can.
Who's visiting this? This is the first I've heard of it.
Me, Charday, Deej, Char.
Oh.
Like there's a whole slew of surprisingly good celebrities. Of course, you know, it's a fan expo.
Charday is going? What surprising.
Because, you know, at these fan expos, you're going to get your you're not going to get your Tom Cruise. He's not coming to Fan Expo Dallas.
No.
It's basically, okay, so you have your Comic-Con in San Diego. That's like your premium A-plus con.
That's it.
Then you have everywhere else. And that's where you're going to get all your actors. They're not super popular. They're like on these shows. But we're having like the Avatar Last Airbender. The actors from that show are coming on. They're not coming out on our show. They're coming to Fan Expo Dallas.
That would be amazing.
That would be incredible.
They are?
I've thought about just shooting some people just like, hey.
We had.
When they have like
a Jeff thousand. Jeff Lockhart,
When they have like 1,000 followers and you're like, okay, I see you're not super popular right now. Now's the time to strike. But the Fan Expo Dallas, it's like June 9th or something. There's a lot of good celebrities that are going to be
there.
If
you could meet one celebrity. But that's like in that, not, you know, some crazy celebrity. Are you talking about
overall in my life or nerd celebrity or what? I'm
talking nerd celebrity. So like, don't go crazy. Like, obviously, like I'd be like Daniel Day-Lewis, but no, right. Like somebody legit that's nerd-ish. Part of me wants to say Will Wheaton just because I'd like to gauge if he's actually a jerk or he's not. I somehow feel like he's probably not a jerk. But yet I still want to hate him.
Here's my thing. So it's like, there's some people, it's like, I know I can't have a conversation with you.
Like, but somebody you want to have a conversation with.
They're somebody I want to have a conversation with.
I have exactly who
a
I
am. A
nerdy celebrity.
Probably Henry Cavill.
Well, that is an amazing choice and probably my second choice. But go ahead.
Henry Cavill seems like a lot. You know who I really like? And he's going to be at this... he's going to be at this. He's always had him, unfortunately. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk I love would be Alan amazing.
Tudyk. He's going to be at this Comic-Con. And as well as my man, Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah.
He's going to be there as well. Rose McGowan's going to be there. All the Doctor Who people. Shannon Doherty is going to be there. Billy Piper of Doctor Who.
Oh, listen.
The original companion.
Enrique, I refer Newman. Back.
Newman from Seinfeld's going to be there.
Newman! Race, listen.
Okay.
Several
Billy Piper. I can't say anything because we'd have to edit everything out of this podcast. The one person, I'll regress, that I have actually thought about this here recently for some reason. I guess because it was showing up in my Facebook feed. Because of a particular story, one person I would be fascinated to meet, and it's because of one particular reason. I will tell you this story about Star Trek, The Next Generation. There was a particular actor that apparently got roles and was expanded upon in the Star Trek universe because the writers and staff found him to be so pleasant that they purposely, throughout Star Trek Next Generation, wrote him into the script and expanded upon his character. And they repeatedly brought it up because he was such a quote-unquote pleasure to work with. And it drives me insane to think that when you think of all the various actors, we're talking like Patrick Stewart and all these other people. Why are you looking up Google Maps?
No, I'm ready. I'm waiting for our pizza to get done, but go ahead.
Who?
I know the answer to this is also one reason I'm kind of like checked out.
Why?
Not checked out because you've told me this before.
Say his name.
Chief O'Brien.
Cole Meany. Chief O'Brien. What in the world? What did he do?
Well, if you watch some of the movies he's in, like the Colin Farrell movies that he's in, he's really good.
He's good.
And he plays like terrible characters.
But he's mean. What about him? He's 70 years old, FYI. Lives in Dublin. He's a fellow Irishman.
See, he's one of those people, like, he's living the good life. He, like, he's rich, he's famous, but also not that famous where he can like, live in Ireland in peace.
So, I would love to sit down for several reasons with him. Number one, he's 70 years old. He's about to die. He doesn't care.
70 is the new 50.
But he's old enough that he doesn't care. Two, he's been there, done that. Three, he would dish on people. Mm-hmm. And he's close enough to everybody else, but yet far enough removed that he's not involved. You sit down with Brent Spiner and you start asking him stuff, he's going to love everybody. It doesn't matter. He's not, even if he hated somebody. But Colm is far enough removed that you can say, tell me about Patrick.
Patrick's legit.
And he'd be like, Patrick Stewart's a great person. He's legit. And he would go down and just go, and like, he would be the person that you would able to see. He's in that perfect spot where he is in on the action. He's a part of it, but yet he's so far removed that he could still dish on what's going on. And plus, every other film that he's been in and every other project he's worked in, from Hell on Wheels to all the what's-his-name movies.
Why is he always a bad guy?
Because, one, his name is Meany. And to be honest, as somebody who loves puns, the fact that somebody is incredibly nice and their last name is Meany, I cannot... I can't shake that. I can't shake it.
That's good. And I mean, it's just, he is literally the bad guy in everything else other than Star Trek.
And plus, the fact that he was the first character and series for which I had somebody open my eyes to. I love Star Trek Generations. I grew up watching it. I had a friend who worked on with me. He was my partner on the fire department. I trained him as a paramedic. And one day I caught him watching Deep Space Nine. And he sat down and I was like, why do you watch Deep Space Nine? Why do you have the box set of Deep Space Nine? It's not that good. And he goes...
He corrected you.
He corrected me. And he sat down and explained to me very calmly what Deep Space Nine was, of how they brought in Spock, and he loved Chief O'Brien, and how this was more of a soap opera with a very clear, linear path of this is what's going on, and they stuck to it. And he changed my mind by saying, just watch these episodes and look what this is. And the main character he focused on was Colm Meany's character, Chief O'Brien. And it truly one of the biggest character arcs.
But to say, I don't know that I would focus on Colm Meany. I mean, you got Worf also made the transition to DS9.
But no character arc.
But I know, it's just...
No arc. But see, this is, you're falling down the same thing. You're going, well, what about this guy? There's no arc. There's nothing. He's the same person.
So what was Lieutenant O'Brien's arc?
He's not a lieutenant.
Have you got a lock on that other ship?
Aye, sir. No problems at all.
Can you put us on the bridge?
Anywhere you say, Commander.
App station, Lieutenant.
Aye, sir.
I reversed it. I'm sorry. You're correct. Number one, you've already made one fatal mistake. What was he?
That's
on
where he started.
No, it wasn't.
He was a lieutenant.
No, he was not.
Chief?
Have you got a lock on that other ship?
Aye, sir. No problems at all.
Can you put us on the bridge?
Anywhere you say, Commander.
App station, Lieutenant.
Aye, sir.
I reversed it. I'm sorry. You're correct.
Nope.
You have lost.
Chief?
You have lost every bit.
Chief?
Yes. Yeah. You've lost every bit of respect from everybody who watched. Like lieutenant, right? No, he wasn't. He was never a lieutenant.
He had to be at some point.
He was non-lieutenant.
He was chief engineer.
Maybe not non-canonical.
I only know this because I am recently watching Deep Space Nine.
Good for you.
Why are you watching?
Because
you?
I've been spreading the word.
Okay, Enrique, you need to get your license and go pick up our pizza. It's ready.
Okay. I can walk there.
Chief O'Brien.
Lieutenant.
Chief Transporter O'Brien. Chief.
Transporter Chief.
Was an NCO, a non-commissioned officer. And although he had similar pips, he was not an officer in Starfleet. He was a non-commissioned officer. And even though he had those traditional lieutenant pips.
So he was a lieutenant.
He was not a lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
You are making a fool of yourself like you always do.
And I think he had okay. like two,
I think
three
he was
arcs.
Called Lieutenant O'Brien.
He was
at some
not.
Point.
He was never a lieutenant.
Let's just say.
Never a lieutenant.
Lieutenant, as the British might say.
Like he got like three episodes that were
he's not
like,
a lieutenant.
That were focused on him.
Not a lieutenant. Either way, while you go to try to peddly seek to
Miles
actually
O'Brien.
I remember those three episodes too.
Try to seek to prove me wrong.
It's in Wikipedia.
Because one was
either way, his whole character arc was amazing. The so-called...
He was a lieutenant on USS Enterprise D, TNG Season 2, Episode 2.
No, he was not.
I'm just quoting Wikipedia.
He was not Wokopedia? A lieutenant.
No wonder.
He was never a lieutenant.
Not in the...
He was not a lieutenant.
I will know.
So let's not have a Khomeini-based podcast. I appreciate it. I love Star Trek, but
everybody
what else?
Who knows better than Gabby, email me at boardgamestops@gmail.com.
Email us. Join our Patreon.
Don't join
Nothing
the Patreon.
No, we need
you
Patreon.
Don't deserve
Look, I
money.
Cannot go to BGG without your Patreon money. Please. Please. I can't pay for the hotel rooms. They're expensive.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Enrique, I need you to get in your car that you don't have with your license. You have enough.
That's in the future, maybe.
With your license you don't have yet, and go get a pizza you have yet to pay for.
Wait,
can you
didn't
do
you
all
take,
three of those things?
Wait, didn't you take the money?
I took the money, but it hasn't been paid for yet.
Okay, then you go grab it. And you go.
I guess I'm going to have to.
Please, me and Enrique will talk. Me and Enrique will talk. What were you about to say?
I still want to talk about Khomeini and his role in Deep Space
Nine. I want you to talk about Khomeini.
Because so far... Because
Gabi's gone. He won't interrupt
us.
Yeah,
I know. So far, the episodes that I've watched, I think he's had three meaningful episodes. And each one has been kind of building up.
So, what brought you to watching Deep Space Nine?
Just like YouTube shorts.
Just YouTube shorts?
Yeah, basically.
So, here's the thing. I find that Star Trek is a generational thing. Everybody finds their Star Trek. For instance, those back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, it was the original Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Late 80s came Next Generation, which was my Star Trek. I remember it coming on late at night after the news or in prime time, and it being like a surreal experience because it's an hour-long adventure with very defined characters that each had their strengths and weaknesses and they worked off each other. And then I remember during that time period when Next Generation was going off the air, here comes Deep Space Nine. And Deep Space Nine really messed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, Captain...
Sisko...
who was a commander at the time. He got promoted, I think, in the second season of captain.
Third
season?
Third.
He was such a strong... Here's the thing. Each captain is a representation of your dad. So Captain Kirk... And then think of it this way. Captain Kirk is the dad that was divorced and fun and still out there running around. You really don't want, mm-hmm. but he's cool. Captain McCard is that old wise dad that you would go to for advice that is just so amazingly calm and diplomatic. And you just have the first episode you see Patrick Stewart walk on stage, you just have respect for him. You instantly recognize it. Sisko, his wife killed at Wolf 359. And now he's raising his son. He's very bitter. but yet you respect him. He was the hard dad. He was the mean, this is what we got to do. And he did some terrible things and does terrible things throughout Deep Space Nine. But yet he had this very overwhelming sense of, I've got to get the job done. I know this isn't perfect, but yet I have to do this. This is not a perfect situation. I'm dealing with it. And that was such a weird transition from Picard to him that when I watched Deep Space Nine, I was one of those first people that like pulled away from it. Mm-hmm. But then when they introduced Worf and Colm Meaney, you know, Chief O'Brien, who again, I think is one of the greatest characters in Star Trek, along with Worf.
Oh yeah, Worf.
Worf is amazing.
I don't think he had too much meaning for Deep Space Nine.
Yes, it was just that Worf was the guy that come in. Michael Dorn comes in because they wanted him to be like, okay, we got to get people who watch Next Generation to watch this. And it was, there's a war going on. These people are fighting the Dominion and the Jihad. I mean, there is a lot of deep,
yes,
symbolic stuff going on that, like, when I didn't realize this jihad thing, Jem'Hadar.
The Jem'Hadar were like.
And it's like later on, as an adult, I'm looking back going, oh.
Yeah, like they were almost on par with the Klingons.
This was but even modern day stuff that it was pictorial of and symbolic of, I'm like, this is insane. I didn't realize this is what I was watching. And his wife. Not his wife. Whoever. Eventually his wife. That Worf gets involved with.
Oh, you mean.
Not Jasmine. Jasmine, but that's not correct. They always called her old man.
Oh, yeah. I know what. It's Dax.
Dax. There you go.
But I can't. It's like.
Another amazing character.
I cannot say her name.
Amazing character. And the whole thing was just this different, completely different experience. I didn't watch it at the time, just bits and pieces of it. But strangely enough, when Star Trek Voyager come out, which is more of, this is your mom. Who, by the way, there's tons of people who absolutely love Voyager. I never could get into it.
I'm going to start on that one because I remember parts of that.
I did like the fact what they did was, here's Voyager, here's this uptight Starfleet officer and all of her crew. They're chasing rebels, and them and the rebels get sucked into a wormhole and get sent out to the middle of nowhere, and then they combine crews. And so her first officer's dead, so now her first officer becomes Chakotay, who I think has been recently canceled, as her first officer. And, you know, Paris, who is like this guy who is completely a criminal and was in prison and gets demoted throughout the whole thing. And then Harry, who never gets a promotion. And then they do the thing. Star Trek does this thing where they have caricatures and they go, this is this person. They're going to be this thing. But then they're like, well, we got to subvert expectations. I'm like, we need an engineer. Let's have a Klingon engineer. And that was the route they went. And then they go, okay, we need a Vulcan security officer because Vulcans aren't violent, right? And so Voyager was trying very hard to subvert expectations. But for there are certain people that watch Voyager and just really loved it. I never got into it. Okay. But it made me appreciate Deep Space Nine because Voyager was trying so hard to be the next generation.
From what you're trying to, what they were trying to do, they were trying to do like a Deep Space Nine.
They were doing
where they were trying to put characters where they felt off place, but right. It still worked.
Exactly.
And that's exactly. And that's what they did in Deep Space Nine.
Exactly.
Everyone felt out of place.
Yes.
But it worked somehow.
Yes.
It's great.
And it was I think that Star Trek is, there are certain books that you read that people will tell you that when the time period in your life, when you read them, you have a different experience. And I'm thinking of Catcher in the Rye. If you read that when you're young, you relate Holden Caulfield. If you read it later in life, you have a different experience with the book because your viewpoints have changed. I think that Star Trek is one of those shows that when you watch it and you experience it, depending on where you are at life, it's like, this is your Star Trek. This is what you relate to. And this is what you kind of engulf yourself with and go, that's super neat. I think that's what the experience that a lot of people have with the original Star Trek was, 60s and 70s, a lot of racism, a lot of turmoil in the world. But here's a spaceship that's got all these different races and all these different people, and there are all these different things going on, and everybody goes, that's cool. And they, there you go. And then it's the 80s and the 90s, you got all these kids, these latchkey kids that are going like, what do you need? And here's this very moral captain and all these people on the ship, and it's very structured and it's very cut and dry. Even though you can look back at Star Trek now and still laugh over it. Did you get our pizza?
Gabby, welcome back.
Your pizza awaits.
What kind of pizza did you order?
Pepperoni, because that's what y'all want.
Well, I will admit, quite frankly, this is one of those things, maybe it's the bourbon making me talk, that pepperoni is the least of all the pizzas. But the fact is that most people,
like myself,
can't handle Supreme. We're not there yet. And the truth be told, and I'm going to say this, it's going to upset a lot of people, they don't like pizza because they like bread and cheese
and marinara.
That's it. I like bread, cheese, and marinara.
Give me some cheasy breadsticks with marinara sauce. I'd dip in that all day.
But people go, I love pizza. What do you like? Pepperoni. I feel the same way about those people. It's the same way that I do with people who go, I like coffee, and they pour a bunch of milk, a bunch of cream, a bunch of sugar. No, you don't. You like milk and hot.
At one point, I did like pizza. I think I'm starting to fall out of it.
I think Italians would just absolutely.
You need a variety of what can be made of pizza. There's a place in McKinney called Cadillac Pizza. They do wonderful, amazing things with what can be done with pizza. It's wonderful. They do things with chicken. They do things with cheese and tomatoes. And they make a variety of things
now,
with pizza. Because I like a Supreme pizza. I don't care for pepperoni. I don't care.
It's the lowest of the meats.
Yeah.
I love the chicken bacon ranch.
I want salami pizza. That's what you might as well just say.
Yeah.
I want salami pizza.
And who likes salami?
Salami for your boy in the army.
People with gout. I love chicken bacon ranch.
The disease of kings.
Yes.
I have yet to acquire it, and I hope to never do.
Give me that toe pain. Yeah.
T-pain.
T-pain. Enrique.
Yes.
What have you been doing? I know you've been playing Helldivers with Tim Bowers.
Yeah, Tim Bowers.
What do you think of Tim Bowers?
Give us your thoughts on this person.
Small interaction, and he probably... amount to something great within our managed democracy.
I don't know what he just said.
You're an Xbox player, so you don't know. I'm a PC guy. Enrique's a PlayStation person.
Which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Talk about toe pain. Talk about gout.
Gummy's kind of like wearing that like Xbox.
That's green. A T-Pain thing. Yeah. He alters his voice. Talk about toe pain. Talk about gout.
That's what I'm all about. That's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. I wish you had never found that setting.
I heard it through his headset. What was that?
He's changing the tones of the voice because he thinks it's funny.
That used to be like a PlayStation thing.
It is absolutely hilarious.
Psycho Mantis.
If you disagree with me, I will strike you down where you stand.
Put your controller down. Your game is misleading.
Game over.
That's wonderful. Anyways, we got BGG coming up. We're going to be doing Den of Wolves with Tim and Chad.
I will be checking out that day. I'll be going home because I do not care for... I mean, I want to care for it.
Need to care about it.
I can't.
Why not?
Y'all are heavily invested because it's like y'all's fifth time playing.
I love it.
It's a heavy RPG.
And it's a 4 to 5 hour experience. I can be home relaxing with my wife in my backyard while y'all are still playing Den of Wolves in your fifth hour.
Okay. Well, why does that matter though?
Because I don't want to spend that amount of time on that game without me being invested. Because the first time I played, I checked out, then I checked back in, and I had an engaging experience, but I just don't being
can I
so many years separated from that now in my mind, I don't know that I can get that invested again.
I'm trying to thread a needle here. Mm. I'm going to start this by saying the obvious. I'm not attacking you. I'm just asking questions. But I don't want to come across as I'm being aggressive, because I may be aggressive in this.
You always are.
Aggressive.
But the last, but if you will listen to the last episode that we had when you went to and you experienced.
I had a wonderful experience
with it. So why don't you want to do it now?
Because I don't think it's going to happen again. I'm scared it's not going to happen again.
Can I bring some? Well, so the options are you. So this is how I think. So this,
you know, let me tell you why.
Okay, go ahead. That's what I'm getting down to.
Because y'all are both for it.
We are.
You look forward to it.
We love it.
You know how it operates.
And Chad's going to love it. Tim's going to love it. You're looking
forward to it. I'm already going in there, on top of having played it already and experienced trepidation, but finally bought into it and enjoying myself. But now I'm back into experienced trepidation and not wanting to really play it again.
So can I ask you a question? And I want you to answer this truthfully.
I will always answer truthfully.
You've played one game of Den of Wolves.
Correct.
Did you enjoy it?
Half and half.
No. Did you enjoy it?
Initially, no.
The episode shows that I did not enjoy it because I did not know what was going on. But once I enjoyed it.
So, when you weren't playing it and you had no idea what was going on, you didn't like it.
But I don't have the personality for it.
But when you
played, I don't have the personality to
when you played it,
just throw myself into it.
But when you played it, did you enjoy it?
The second half of it, yes.
When you played it. Because the first half, you didn't play it. You didn't know what to do. So,
right.
So, to answer my question, when you played Den of Wolves, did you enjoy
it? That's my thing. That's my thing with Den of Wolves. You take on these particular... Enrique takes on these mundane roles that he still enjoys. You're like at the height of the game. Like, you're the president, the admiral. You're like in the council, like, making these decisions. Mm-hmm. And then there's the characters that Enrique plays where, like, I'm just captaining the ship that makes the water. Bring me some water and I'll trade you this.
Uh-huh.
I think the enjoyment of the game can differentiate between what level you want to play. I want to play a level of the game in my brain where I'm making a difference. I want to be Admiral Adama.
Well, do it.
Well, like,
do it.
But I don't know how.
Do it.
Because I'm not Admiral Adama in real life.
But that's okay. So here's the beauty of role playing games.
I know you can act.
You act. You act. You do things like. So here's what happens in role-playing games that I have finally bought into. When I've made the mistake several times, the few times I've played role-playing games, I'm still thinking, what would I do? And then I realize, no, I'm playing a character. This is a role. It, by definition, it's a role-playing right. game. And they're telling me, you need to be the president. You are hyper, hyper fascist. You want control. You want to have everything under your influence, and you don't care about this group. I don't go, well, actually, this is against the interest of the game. I would never do this because I want this thing to work out. No, I'm playing this role. And when you buy into that and you see that happen, that is an absolutely great thing, because you see people transform into a role that you would not put them as. And they're acting it out. And that's what I find. Go ahead. Take off, Enrique.
So for him, those important roles have to be taken to their highest capability of playing the said role. I like the mundane roles because it allows me to do whatever I wish and how I want to play. So if I was to take care of the water or whatever, transport it, fix whatever materials that or whatever parts of the ship that needs to be taken care of, it allows me to travel to each ship to grab these resources. But not only does it allow me to do that, it allows me to gain information about the ships and its crew members, even though it's a short time. So, even though it's a mundane role, I can basically convert it to a point of where I could be more than just a collector of water, a person who just repairs ships,
right,
or anything that allows me to do whatever.
And to work off Enrique's comment regarding this, Enrique had several mundane roles the first time we played. And each time he enjoyed himself because he was adding to the collective of the whole. The last game we played, and this is my absolute favorite moment of any role-playing game, of any time I've played a role-playing game, the hours we spent playing Den of Wolves, it boils down to, if I had to pick a moment that I go, this is my favorite, this is what it was. When we sit down and I go, very presumptuously, I'm going to be the admiral because nobody will take it. And then I have this group of people who become my command staff. I had told Enrique earlier, you're going to be with me wherever I'm at. Just be with me. Enrique sits down on my command staff. I have my second officer, who's Captain Awesome from BGG. If you know who Captain Awesome is, it's Captain Awesome. The fact that that's his nickname, that's all you need to know. I got this other guy who is my logistics officer, who is amazing. And we're sitting down, and here across the table, who is in charge of all of my fighters? Who is my top gun but Enrique? And do you know what went through my mind? I don't want him as my wing commander, because this is going to be tactical. This is going to be him making decisions. This is going to be him in charge of the fleet's aircrafts. This is not Enrique. And my favorite part of this whole thing is that as soon as Enrique sat down and said, I guess I'm in charge of the aircrafts, I guess I'm in charge of the fighters, he starts looking through the rule book, we start talking about it, and Enrique flips a switch and goes, I'm going to role play this. I'm Tom Cruise. I'm the top gun, and I make the decisions of where the planes go, who's the pilots, how many pilots we need, and what we're going to do. And every time the alarms went off and they had to go up to the battle room and they had to sit around this table, I would glance up and I would see about a dozen people around this table. And who was there doing the talking, and who was there doing the pointing, and who was there doing all the organization but Enrique, the youngest of the group, telling people, we're going to put fighters here, and we're going to attack this, and we're going to do this.
And what was funny is that we wouldn't place our I messed up a rule in the game. It's like, don't place your ships down just yet. Let the fighters come in. It's like, no, it's fine. Like, yeah, where they are, they're fine. This is where they're going to attack, right here.
And so Enrique had this thing where he had to play a role that is not him. He would go, I'm not a leader. I'm not in charge of this. But because he happened to sit down in this role, he became it. And there was a moment in this game where we are just getting killed. Our ship is falling apart. Things are on fire. And I know we are about, things are going bad. And Enrique comes up to me and I pull him aside and I go, whatever you have to do, whatever it costs.
And then he hands me the card to my specific character.
I need you to make decisions. Don't come to me. I need you to deal with it. And as admiral, I had these little cards that hand out that gave bonuses. And one of the cards was the wing commander can man a ship himself and go into the fight and just add an extra pilot into the. I said, listen, if you have to do it, go do it. But whatever you do, don't give them an inch. We can't afford another hit. You make it happen. And while I'm back at the table, while this fight is going on later, I look over and I see Enrique make a motion that I've seen him made a million times at our very own board game table, where he has a card and he's about to play it and he rears it back like he's cocking it behind his back and he throws it down like, guess what? This is what I'm about to do. And I saw Enrique from a distance roll dice or do something at this table to where he is engaging the enemy. He is taking the lead. And every time he come back, he would go, it's getting bad, but we're holding them off. We're getting bad, we're holding them off. And the fact that Enrique stepped up to this role and changed from this person that at the beginning of the game, 8 hours earlier, I went, I don't want him to be the swing commander. This is going to be a disaster. Right. To now the next game, you could line up everybody I've ever played with and say, who are you going to put in charge of something? I'm like, are you going to put Enrique there? Because he made a difference. He adapted to this role and played a character as if it's in a television series, that he was our Chief O'Brien when we needed it. And even though every fiber of my being went, that's not him, I don't want him in that position. And then later it's, oh no, that's exactly who I want in that position.
And I think I almost died like what?
Well, twice? So.
And the fact that at the end of the, as the game went on, as we're getting reports back and the news media people are coming up to me and they're going, what do you want to do? I said, let them know that Enrique is getting the Medal of Honor. Like, he is our, he's committed himself to such a thing.
I think that's the whole appeal of these RPGs, is you get to become someone you are not, but someone maybe perhaps you dream to be, or in your fantasies, or, you know, people that in real life, you know, real life.
Nail on the head right there.
Yeah. You're, this
is, I've never really had to command my troops to a point of where they needed my guidance, because they all did what needed to be done.
Well, I think something that's for whatever reason in my brain, I never saw until TikTok brought this to my attention. Everyone is in.
I've never heard that phrase until TikTok brought.
Well,
it
I
to
never
my
did
attention.
Because you know, in through mundane life, everyone in their own mind is their main character,
right? Yeah. The main character syndrome,
and. You think, like, whatever you do, whatever you say, you think people are thinking about, oh, I can't believe he said that or did that. They don't care what you just said or did. No one's thinking about you.
I've never thought that. No, like, literally, I've never thought people cared about what I said.
Oh, okay. But I mean, but for most people, it's like, you know, they're real concerned about, what did I say? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Because for most people, we're like, oh my God, they're thinking about what? No, they've already forgot, because everyone's concerned about themselves.
Right.
And so RPGs actually provide basically this movie actor experience of, I can be someone.
Yes.
I am not.
Yes.
And but it's difficult to do that for me. It's difficult for me to be, I am not outgoing. I am not assertive.
But that's what you're acting.
I know.
Just do it.
And you technically don't really have to do like the necessary role, like the description of.
It's such a fun thing.
I can imagine. I know. Like I said, I enjoyed this last half of the Den of Wolves.
When you actually were playing it.
When I was playing it.
With Bruno. As my vice president. Amazing.
I had that Texas senator, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
All right. A great senator. We have pizza that's getting cold.
But my point is.
Go ahead. Wrap up your point.
Be the admiral. Have Chad be the president. Y'all do your thing. And this just walk into that den of wolves.
I will rule that Battlestar with true moral integrity.
And be. But come. Come there with that mindset of, this is what I'm going to do. This is the person I'm going to be. And just project. It's a game. You just project it.
Okay.
You just project it and you do it. And you have that level of. And worst case scenario, I'll coup you and kill you.
Kill.
Yeah, that's what happened.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Until that happens, I'm Gabby.
Wait a minute, are we done?
I think we are.
We have pizza to eat.
I do want to eat my pizza.
We do. I get out. I'm just Jerry.
This is
Thank you for tolerating this episode of the Board Game Snobs. Stay classy.